always a treat to have Kathy present because I learn a lot and I love learning. And Kathy is our resident expert on team coaching, having written a book called
Prism Teams.
Prism
Coaching, okay. Yeah, Prism Coaching. Prolific, radically innovative, self-managed teams.
And there she goes. She's out and running. So it's a pleasure to have everybody here. I'm going to let you get started, Kathy. We are eager to have your wisdom. And I'm going to unless anyone sends me in a chat message a request to the contrary. Okay. And in the lower, I think you're all educated on the audio. I can see that. Thank you. Okay. Welcome, Kathy Harmon. Team coaching.
Thank you. This is actually about agile coaching. So so I'm going to share my screen. Can everybody see the Agile for Coaches here? Can everybody see my screen? Looks like I'm getting lots of nods. Good. So I would like to see I guess you can go in the chat or whatever. How many people know what Agile is? Phil does. Is anybody else? I'm going to assume that most people do not know what Agile is or just have a slight idea. And what today's talk is about is this thing called Agile that has been quite big in the world, mostly the technical world, but it's starting to bleed out into more business-like situations. And it is a huge opportunity for coaches. So if anybody has any questions at any time, unmute yourself and ask, because there's a lot of information to go here. So what we're going to cover is just a quick what Agile is. Then we're going to talk a little bit about how you as a coach would actually coach your teams with Agile. And a little bit on how you can add this to your business portfolio, how you can actually go out and market this once you understand it. So Agile methodology is a way to complete projects very efficiently. And all these things here, the iterative time box developments, what it is, it's a way to be able to take a huge amount of work, break it down into smaller chunks, and start delivering small pieces of the work early on. Normally, and I'm not sure how many of you have a technical background, but if you, most technical teams, the way it was done for many, many years is they would go and get all the information up front. Actually, we're going to talk about this in a minute. So it's feature-based delivery. The whole thing is based on teams. You have teams of people with everybody who is involved in that project will be on the team. And they're small teams, 7 to 9 people. And why it should be important to you is because the teams need to be coached to get to self-management and high performance. So this is where it's an opportunity for coaches. So this is the way projects used to be. And if any of you have worked on projects, whether it's a technical project or for a marketing company or a school or whatever, when you have a big, huge amount of work, this is the way it usually gets done. First, you gather all the requirements. What is it that they need? And you can take anywhere from weeks to months to do that. And then when you have everything you know about it all in hand, and everybody agrees, yeah, this is what we know, we design a solution. And once we've designed a solution, we're going to develop that solution. We're going to do all the work to come up with the solution. Then we're going to test and make sure, maybe a little market test we do, or somehow we're going to make sure that this is actually the way that the customer who asked me for this, so that they know that, yeah, this is going to work, and then we implement it, okay? So a project can take anywhere from weeks to years. What the problem is with this way of doing it is that the time for gathering the requirements and designing the solutions tends to be very, very great. It's out of proportion with the rest of the project. And as you're going along, once you've gathered the requirements, once you've done the design and you're working on actually doing the solution, if anything changes in the market or any of the requirements change, you have to go back and start again. What usually happens is that this developed solution becomes so big that there's not enough time to test. And usually what gets implemented is either not what the customer really wanted, or it's out of date, or it's just a half of what they wanted. It just is not a very efficient way of doing things, mainly because the market is constantly changing. Things are always going on. Things are always changing. And if you cannot change with the market, then you're not doing much good. So Agile was developed. It's the brainchild of like five or so technical people who said, you know, this isn't working. Thousands, millions of dollars are being wasted on projects that take too long. And they came up with this idea of saying, okay, what would happen if instead of taking, let's say, a year for this great big waterfall project? So we work, and then at the end of the year, we deliver. What would happen if we said, okay, let's talk about what is it that you all need and what's the most important thing? So let's get all the details on the important thing. And what we'll do is deliver that, the most important thing. Let's give you something quickly in just a couple of weeks. And that way you can work with it. You can see if you like it. If you do, then we'll do the next highest priority thing. And we'll keep going like that until we finish it all. And what's cool about that is that right here in the middle, if the market changes, we can very easily change what we're doing. We don't have to go all the way back to the front and go back and see how does that affect everything else we've done, because we've already delivered things. And if you decide to pull the plug right here in the middle, no big deal. We didn't do all that other stuff anyway. So it's just an iterative. That's why they call it iterative, because you're doing everything, the requirements, design, developing the solution, testing the solution, and implementing it. You do it all within a couple of weeks for each piece of this. Okay, do you all understand that? Is there anybody who does not understand the difference between this Agile methodology of iterative delivery and the waterfall, which is doing it all in one piece? The idea being, again, this was developed for technology, but businesses are fine. Let's say you have a marketing business, a marketing firm. They do big campaigns for advertising campaigns. And so what they would do is say, okay, well, let's see, we'll develop the concept first and get that out, and maybe we'll even do one quick TV ad and put it out there and see what the response is. Okay, that worked really well. Now let's see, where else can we start doing it? Let's hit social media next. Maybe we'll try this next. So you see how you take the idea, deliver something very early, and test it out, see how it works, and then you build upon that as you go along. So that's how Agile actually works. Now, so you're going to hear things like Scrum, Kanban. Scrum is the most prevalent form of Agile methodology out there. And usually when you hear people talk about Agile, they're talking about Scrum. And Scrum comes from the rugby, where everybody jumps in on the ball and scrambles and tries to get the ball. So the whole idea behind that is teamwork. Having the whole team work together. So instead of having one person who, I'm the one who gets all the information from the customer. Oh, and I'm the one who designs the ads. And I'm the one who is the social media expert. And I have to wait until you're done with yours before I do mine. And I go off in the corner and do mine. Instead, let's get the whole team together. well, throw out ideas. And the person who's a social media says, oh, wait, you don't want to do it that way because this is what it would look like on social media. So we really need it to be like this. And each person shares their expertise. And so together, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, like any team. Together, they come up with a superior project. The iterative thing, you start with a bunch of business goals. I want to have an ad campaign to be able to support this new widget that's coming out. And I want it geared towards young people, and I want you to use social media. Those are their goals. From that, the team gets together and plans. How are we going to do this? The customer is actually part of the team. Okay, so you don't have to sit there and write emails and wonder when the customer is going to get back to them or whatever. The customer is part of the team. So they get there and say, yes, this is the priority, the most important things we want, and helps the team come up with what we call a bad. Excuse me?
I left one open.
No, close one.
No. She's there.
Oh, okay.
She's there.
Okay, does somebody have a question? No? Okay, we'll keep going. So together the team plans, and they come up with what they call their product backlog. That's a list of all the things we know we want to do. From that, they take a chunk of that. What can we do in like 2 weeks? And that 2 week, that iteration of getting something done is called a sprint. So we call that the sprint backlog. This is a list of everything we're going to do in this sprint. Then within that sprint, every day the whole team stands up together and says, okay, guys, for the work I'm doing, this is what I did yesterday, this is what I'm doing today, and this is an impediment. This holds me back, or I have no impediment. In other words, each person shares with the entire team exactly where they are and what's holding them back, if anything. This is done daily. So everybody on the team intimately knows exactly what everybody's working on, where they are, how it affects me. It's a chance for them to ask for help or to offer help. Again, the team is self-managed, and so we call that the daily scrum. So their team, they're not saying this to a customer. They're not saying this to a team lead. The team itself is who cares about this. At the end of the sprint, they have a review with the customer and says, here's what we have. They actually show them, you know, we have this beautiful ad campaign that we're going to start out by going for millennial women who work in the hospital business. And this is what it's going to look like. And they'll show them the ad or whatever they do. The customer then says, yeah, that looks good. Go for it. Or they may say, well, I don't know, can you tweak it? In which case, they go back and they'll work on it some more.
Can you give me another water? Because I'm not.
Excuse me? Does somebody have a question?
No, somebody. I think there's somebody needs to turn their mic off.
Okay. So if everybody would please mute your mics. That would be most helpful. Okay. So anyway, from that review, you may get new needs. You may get changing needs. This right here is the retrospective. So at the end of every sprint, the entire team gets together and says, how did we do? And what is it that we need to be even better? What do we want to do differently? What worked for us? What didn't work? So what this does, and then we go back into planning. What the retrospective does is give them a chance every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however long their sprint is, to step back, take a deep breath, and work on themselves as a team. Okay? So these are what we call agile ceremonies, the planning, the sprint review, the retrospective, and even the stand-up. These are all things that all Agile teams do. They're focused on continually improving. They're focused on getting to total self-management. Now, as you can imagine, very few teams can do this all by themselves while they're also working on a project. And this is where coaching comes in. Any questions on this? This piece right here is not really as important for you to understand as the next concept that we're talking about. But this just, you'll see this sort of a diagram over and over again when you go in and look at Agile, if you Google Agile online. Okay? It's an iterative process. These are called sprints. Every 2 or 3 weeks, we do the work. The whole team reports to each other. They do it. They demonstrate to the customer what they have. The customer gives their input that, yeah, keep going, or here, add this, or stop it all. The retrospective allows them to get better, to go back and look at where they are. It's a lot like results games. The retrospective would be a time to say, what did we do well? What got in the way of us doing really well? And then, of course, planning for the next one, which is like setting up the next results game.
So question for you. What happens when you have the odd person in the team that doesn't hold up their end of the bargain? Does the team throw them out?
This is why you have a team coach, because you will be coaching the team to be able to form those bonds, form those interactions that are highly effective. The team, what you work them towards is for the team to be able to address that and to talk to whoever it is that's just not handling it well, be able to talk with them openly and honestly to be able to decide, are you going to start pulling your weight or not? In the last 10 years or so, I've only had one team that actually voted somebody off the island, where they went to the person's boss and said, please remove him. And it was because he had lied about the work he did during these daily stand-ups. Every day he said, oh, yeah, I'm making progress. And at this end review, he hadn't done any work at all. And so the team said, we can't have you on the team. We don't trust you anymore. And without trust, we can never get to self-management. But I've only had that happen once, and I've been with many teams. Mostly the teams work together to be able to pull everybody up with the help of the coach. Just real quick, this is the progress of the projects that you're doing is always up on a wall, most of the time is up on the wall, where everybody can see what's going on. Here's all the work that hasn't been started. Here's the work in progress. Here's what's done. And when the team does that daily stand-up that I talked about, they stand around this board and they can actually take a task. These are the tasks that need to be done and move it down to work in progress and move it down to done. And the whole team, and you can just move things as we're talking. So everybody can look up at this and see exactly what the status of the whole project is, or the sprint backlog is at any time. And then they have what they call a burn down chart that lets them track their progress, so they know if it's coming way up here, then we're way behind. What's going on? How come we're not moving anything? Why aren't we finishing anything? So it gives them a lot of information to be able to know every day when they do their stand-up how well they're doing. And just a quick question, if anybody knows, why is it so important that this information not be just on a computer somewhere, but be visible to anybody who walks in, including the team? Anybody have any ideas? Don't forget to unmute.
Well, it's support in one thing. It's also celebration to a certain degree. It's keeping the momentum.
Yes.
But also because a good competition is better than no competition at all.
Right. Well, and you're going to find in Agile there's not a whole lot of competition except within the team. Mostly it's inter-team, not intra-team. So they compete with other teams to have a better burn-down chart or to get more done. But within the team itself, it is more collaborative than it is competitive. So what happens is if somebody's task has been in work in progress for 4 days, let's say, somebody else can say, it seems like you're stuck on that. What can I do to help? So it allows the team to see when things are stuck, to be able to stand, to step forward and offer help, or to ask for help. Okay? So it allows the team to manage itself and its own progress. They don't wait for some team lead or a project manager to come and say, why aren't you done with this yet? Where are you on this? When are you going to be finished with that? You don't need that. The team knows at all times what to do. Okay, this is, by the way, the ideal situation that doesn't start out this way. Okay?
And people even can come in and say, I'll take it because I'm free. I finished my task. No, so I see there's a bottleneck here, so I can take it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. If I came in and I finished all my stuff that had my name on it that I wanted to work on, then I can say, hey, for the next 4 days, I'm pretty much done. What can I do to help anybody else? And if people say, still not, you can actually bring in work from the next sprint to work on. So at all times, everybody knows what's next because everything's prioritized. We know what needs to be worked on. If that happens, in the retrospective, the Scrum Master or the Agile Coach would then say, well, we had two people who ran out of work to do. What can we learn from that? How are we going to handle things differently when we decide what to pull in when we do our planning for the next sprint? What lesson did we learn that we can then bring into the next sprint and do better? Okay, very much like the results game, the retrospective. The sprint burndown. Oh, yes, please. Want me to go back?
I want to ask about the Scrum Master being an Agile coach, because from my experience, as I see the teams in Israel, usually they take someone who has experience in iTech and maybe a very good engineer that have experience, and they make him a Scrum Master, and they give him some courses, and he knows about soft skills and stuff like that. They usually don't take a coach.
Right. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's a very good question. And I will address that very shortly. Okay, I'm going to go past this. This is just the burn down chart that shows us how much work is left to be done. So you can see if the line kind of comes out here, then we know things aren't getting done. So this is where I'm going to talk about what you just said. So there's an Agile team. There's the whole organization, and then there's our customers, maybe our partners. They could be other teams. And the enterprise, you have Agile managers. Those are the people that bring you in, the people who are in charge of the teams. The Agile team is basically the team who's developing. They're the ones who are actually doing all the work. The Scrum Master, who is the person who is coaching the team, supposedly. You might have some other stakeholders. You have your customer here. And then right in the middle is the product owner. The product owner is the customer's voice on the team. Usually the product owner works for the person who's paying for this project. And they spend most of their time on the team, helping to make decisions, prioritizing the work. They have ideas to get decisions made very quickly. So this product owner should have the authority to make decisions. Okay? The Agile team, everybody else other than the product owner and the Scrum Master, they're team members. We don't distinguish that it's a designer and an artist and a social media person and a TV person. We just say they're the team. And everybody contributes as much as they can. And they, what we call fungible, they take on new duties, so the TV person might start learning more about social media so that they have a wider variety of skills. Now, the Scrum Master, and you're completely right. What happens usually is that they take somebody with a technical background or somebody who was a team member or even a project manager, and they say, okay, we're going agile. You become the Scrum Master. Go make the team productive. These people will go through a 2 to 3 day Scrum Master class to get their certification, certified Scrum Master. And in that class, they learn all about the mechanics of Agile. They spend about 15 minutes saying, oh, and by the way, you have to coach the team to high performance. But they don't tell them what that means. So what has happened is that many corporations, Agile has failed because, as I mentioned before, for a team to be able to get to high performance and self-management on its own, while they continue to have a high level of productivity, they're still working many hours, it's very rare for a team to be able to do that. It needs to be coached. They really need to have an outside objective partner in exploration to help them get to the point where things come easily to them instead of having to struggle. Well, what happens is you have a team, supposedly team coach, who knows nothing about coaching teams, they become like a project manager, and they start holding the team accountable for, where are you on this, where are you on, okay, team, now it's time to do this. They become very directive. So what happens is the team does not become self-managed. They wait around to be told what to do, just like they used to in their old projects. So what has happened is, people who were very effective as a Scrum Master, maybe they had a natural tendency to coach, maybe they took a couple of classes on how to get a team to high performance, they become Agile coaches. And usually their job is to help Scrum Masters learn how to coach their teams, or they may even help make rules that the teams will live by and such. So the Agile coach has developed into this, like a Uber Scrum Master, a high-level Scrum Master that helps many teams get to high performance. Now, again, there are very, very few Agile coaches who know anything about coaching. There's only a couple of people who actually train, who are trained coaches in ICF competencies who will help Scrum Masters understand a little bit about coaching. But mostly there are very, very few Agile coaches out there who know anything about coaching. And this is where all of you come in. Okay? Let me just say one more thing about the team. The reason why you need a coach. The team has to give up their hero mentality, their individualistic, I'm the best, and this is my stuff, and I hoard my knowledge because that's what makes me important. The individual team members must give that up and make a very big change to now make the team more important than their own individual accomplishment. Big change curve. The customer's part of the team and drives what's being produced. That's also a change. Usually the customer throws stuff over the wall and hopes that the team will understand it. The teams become self-managed. Again, teams are used to being told what to do. So that's why it's so hard for a team to suddenly change and be able to do this all on their own. Very rarely can they do that. So they hire the Scrum Master to help make that happen. This is where the coaching comes in. A team coach uses all the competencies to, and you coach the team as a single entity, an individual entity with many voices, and you coach them to be able to come in and not only do their work, but to do it in a way that is very collaborative and highly productive and fun. You bring a lot of fun into it, which makes the team much more motivated. again, that doesn't happen by magic. You usually have these teams starting out with groups of individuals with individual goals. And that's why you need to have a coach. Hopefully the Scrum Master can do it, but very seldom can they do it. Now, one thing I want to notice, the Scrum Master is not only a coach, but they have to train the team on agile practices. They facilitate various ones of the meetings and those ceremonies we talked about. But they also partner with the team to get them to the self-management. They explore with the team. What is it that, what blocks us? What makes us great? How do we learn enough about ourselves that we can overcome these blocks and become even greater? How do we use all of our individual strengths and blend it all together like in a cake mix and build this beautiful cake instead of just being, you're the flour, you're the egg, you're the sugar, you're the butter, and we each go off and never get cooked. Again, the objective observer. Team, what just happened here? What just happened? Well, you know, he's not doing his work, and I have to do his work. Yeah, you hear that stuff. So you can see that a very big part of what the Scrum Master has to do is coach. Okay? Now, as you all know, it takes a while to learn the coaching competencies and to become a good coach. It takes a long time to do that and a lot of practice. It only takes 3 days to learn Agile, to learn the Agile mechanics in a Scrum Master class. Therefore, it's much easier for trained leadership coaches to become good Agile coaches than it is for Scrum Masters to become good Agile coaches. Okay? It takes less time once you've been trained. So that's why I have been really trying to get the word out, checking my time, trying to get the word out to have coaches start looking into this Agile business. So how can you use Agile? When you go in as an Agile coach to a business, and it could be any kind of business, let me mention one thing. If you have any technical background, then you would be able to go in to a technical team as an Agile coach. If you do not have a technical background, then it would be more difficult to go into a technical team because they tend to be very resistant and suspicious of people who do not understand them. So you have to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk of technical to be able to say, I've been in your shoes, I know what you're going through, and then they accept you. It's hard to do that with if you don't understand all the technical jargon and you've not been in that background. However, Agile works for any project. It doesn't have to be technical. And so if you know of businesses that have projects, I mean, construction companies, law firms, the marketing one I talked about before, there any company that has a project could benefit by Agile. And you as an Agile coach, once you understand the mechanics of Agile, you could go in there and help them to improve their project work, their productivity of their teams by tenfold. So when you go in and do that, you're going to be doing management coaching. You have to coach the leaders to be able to support Agile. You will be coaching and training Scrum Masters because more than likely they have multiple teams that need to do this. You can start out by being a Scrum Master yourself to maybe do a pilot project, which is a good way to do this. But then you want to train others to do the Scrum Mastering, allowing you to be their mentor and coach. You can do team startups, and I've got a whole section of my book on team startups. That's what the team startup does when you do it effectively as a coach is it shortens the storming phase of teamwork. So it helps the team to accept each other much more quickly, to have a very clear goal and mission and vision of who they are. It's like doing your life purpose with your clients. So, when can you use Agile? When an organization has trouble completing projects on time or within budget. And I can tell you that most organizations have trouble doing this. You can use Agile with a leadership team. If you have a leadership team that is very siloed, that each leader is only concerned with their department, and they're competing with other leaders for resources, funding, whatever, you can use Agile to come in and help the leadership team become more collaborative, to start working together, to start managing the work as a whole instead of just saying, oh, no, this is my stuff's more important than your stuff. So Agile is a good opportunity for that. Some organizations like to create a fast-track project team. So these are this is my A team, and they're going to be the ones that all the most critical stuff that has to be done quickly, we'll give it to this team. Well, Agile is a perfect method for that, a really, really good framework for that team to become highly successful doing that. If you have a manager who doesn't have time to micromanage his various people working for him and the projects that are under him, then coming in and creating a leadership team under that manager and using Agile to be able to control the work and manage the work that is being done by self-managed teams can be very, very helpful. I mean, these are all, you could see this would be not just technical teams, but any kind of business. Organization has trouble managing the work of its team. Can anybody think of another situation where this might work?
Well, I think that it works a lot in the creative. It can work very well in the creative business, and they work very much in this Agile business. That's where I come from, in bigger productions, and this could actually make it go faster because there's a lot of egos, and so which don't like to share their information. They love to hold on to it. It's what I call power basing, and so this could actually be much more effective in any sort of implementation of creativity in that sense.
It can. One of the nice things about Agile is that it is a framework. It is not, it's not a hard and fast set of rules. It's a framework to build what works for your organization, what works for your teams. And so I find it works really well. In fact, I find it much easier to go in and help teams become agile that are not technical. In fact, the more creative, the easier it is to implement agile. They seem to get it, and they enjoy the fact that it is so open that it allows them to create the processes that work for them to get the high performance. Everyone? Whoop, unmute. Aaron, you need to unmute.
Yeah, for me it's fascinating because thank you for the background and what you're saying. From my experience, I know that in Israel we have companies that are specialized in implementing Agile and teaching usually the IT companies how to get it. And they are bringing their coaches, or they call it, I don't know if they call it coaching, but they are like giving the full package. So for a company, it's better to go with a company that gives them, that also gives them the training and then escort them along the way in the implementation. So this is first, and I think they usually come from technical backgrounds. So I'm thinking about myself, so I see that I have a big gap because I'm not coming from technical background. Another thing, I know that Agile is a great methodology, and it can also go very good in many other sectors, but you need to educate the market, because the market is not really educated for it. So you have to be really a pioneer and know a lot about Agile and have experience in it, and then do something which is like these implementation companies that will give you a full solution in doing it as a pilot or something like that. Otherwise, I think it's very hard to tackle it. You have to be big and large and with experience and methodology behind you. I don't know. Just concerned.
That depends. So I have done work for very small companies where I came in and they have maybe 20 people in their IT department. Or I've also gone into where they had like that A-team I talked about. So an organization that just had an A-team. And I've just gone in and got them totally established, got them and running and high performance. And then I could leave. So one of the things that I'm hoping to see happen, and I've been going around talking to many people about this, is to start educating non-technical companies on what Agile can do for you. In those cases, you do not need the Agile background. The technical background. You just need to really understand Agile. And with your coaching understanding and knowledge, the knowledge of Agile, it will allow you to create a portfolio that you can then market to non-technical corporations. Anybody who has projects, you know, that we talked about, like marketing or construction or creative people or whatever, that it gives you something else in your portfolio to be able to market to businesses. So where I have not actually had to ever go in with a big company that markets that kind of a package. I've always gone in just by myself to go in and implement Agile.
I can see that it would have an incredible, I can see that it would have a great advantage in the public sector as well, because it's so heavy laden and with so much bureaucracy and hierarchy that there is an awful lot of lack of motivation within departments and units because they're not really necessarily working together. And it could be more fun and more playful if they could come together. And I could see that, because that's where I am right now, is I work a lot in the European Union when I'm here in Brussels. So I could see that happening. I actually had,
go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Okay. And, I can't remember what I was going to say. I was going to say something else, but now I've lost it.
Do you have any experience with the public sector?
I do not. And everything I've done has been in corporations. Small business, I've worked for companies as small as only having 5 people in the company, to mid-sized companies where there are like 200 people in the company, to very large organizations where there are 10,000 people in the company. And so it really is across the board. I think the important thing with it is the fact that this is a proven way to be able to be more efficient about getting work done, especially project work when you have a chunk of work that needs to be done. There's also another piece of the methodology called Kanban that is good for if you have work coming in randomly, that you never know when it's going to come in, you never know when it's going to be done. There's a process that supports that as well. But what you want to do when you go into I'm not sure whether I have that slide in here. When you go into a business to implement it, what you want to do is say, let's do a prototype team. Let's take a project and put together a team and put all your best people on it, and we'll use Agile to do this project and see how it works. And what happens when you do that is that the team, since they're high-performing people anyway, usually embraces Agile. They love it. They have fun doing it, and they finish it way before they expect to finish up. All the other teams are looking at this team having such fun and being so productive, and they're curious and open-minded to trying it out. They want to try it. They want to be like that team. And so it enables you to take that team and seed the other teams with the members from the first prototype team, with people who really like it, who know what they're doing, and they help the teams, the other teams, come up to speed and understand it. And they help motivate them. So it helps with that whole change curve. The change curve tends to be much steeper for technical teams than it does for business teams. And I think the reason for that is because technical people tend to be on the lower spectrum of the change curve. They are more of the pragmatists, and they don't like change. They're very resistant to change, and so it takes a lot to help them embrace something completely new like this, a different way of doing things.